here, since we have this all good and fixed, we will head into the book of Romans again. Hope you're so far enjoying it. We're only in the second chapter, but it's good. And then I'm going to read the emphatic diglot along while, let's read like the first four verses. All right, now you read them up here and I'm going to read the diglot. All right, chapter 2. Now look, excuse me. Remember in chapter 1, when we ended chapter 1, remember that man put chapters in. Paul just wrote a letter.
Right.
So he's continuing his thought of the before, which was last Sunday we were talking about without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knoweth the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All right, they got pleasure in them to do them. Now he's continuing this thought. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Okay, so this is where he starts. Okay, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, thou who judgest all. For in what thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Since thou, the judge, dost practice the same things. Right. Verse 2. But we know that the sentence of God is according to truth unto those who practice such things. And dost thou think this, O man, thou who judgest those practicing such things, and yet are doing the same, that thou shalt escape the sentence of God? Question mark. Or dost thou despise the abundance of his goodness and forbearance and patience, being ignorant that this goodness of God entices thee to a reformation? So that verse 4, let's read that again because I like that. Or dost thou despise the abundance of his goodness and forbearance and patience, and being ignorant that this goodness of God entices thee to a reformation? All right, so now let's go back and read. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. Now what's Paul talking about? He sees a natural group of people doing these inexcusable things. Fornicators and all that list before. But what's he saying? Like I told you last Sunday, we look at a twofold thing, because these people here are doing it spiritually, the ones he's fixing to talk about. They have the same devil. They don't have to touch, they don't have to commit adultery, or they don't have to be homosexuals or anything like that. But that demon, what that demon does, that demon causes you to do certain things. Burning your own lust and all those things that were on the list before. But what's Paul talking about? Because remember, I can't, if I go commit adultery against you, and I can't stand in the pulpit, of course some people do, I can't stand in the pulpit and preach against adultery. But now if I have a denominational spirit on me, I've never touched a woman in my life, that's why I said, we're going to realize, folks, this thing right here does not sin. This flesh body does not sin. Jesus told him, he said, all you got to do is look on a woman now. Now, where is that? That's here. That's not here.
Right.
Because I'm sure the priests were standing there going, I've never touched a woman. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, yeah, but that same adulterous spirit that you won't accept me. In other words, he said, you won't accept me because of your denominational ideas or your Trinitarian concept, or put whatever you want to in it. Your false doctrine, because remember, false doctrine, contrary to God, is just like that whole list of people, adulterers, liars, right, and all those things.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can, it's a spirit, because I don't think I put it in this week's sermon, but even in the third seal, talking about the black horse, it was the blackness of Cain. We will talk about this afternoon. It was the blackness of Cain is what killed him.
Right.
It was his doctrine. It wasn't that he killed Abel.
Right.
It was his doctrines what killed Abel. God judged him of his doctrine. The problem with Cain was he had no repentance. Just like, watch this, what I'm going through here. Look, the goodness of God led to feet to repentance. Cain never repented. Never repented. Okay, but if he would have repented, God could have dealt with him. But what's the first thing he done? The worst thing Cain could have done was the last thing he did. He went out from the presence of God. So he showed his true colors. And we'll talk about that this afternoon, because we're going to type the third seal back to Genesis chapter 4. All right? So what's Paul saying? He's not judging. And listen, we don't judge people. You're not supposed to judge anybody. Remember, the Bible says you judge whatever you judge, it'll be meted back to you. We are judgmental people. But we should not judge. We should let God judge. Because what he say in verse 4? Watch. Verse 4 in the emphatic dialogue. Watch. Or dost thou despise the abundance of his goodness and forbearance and patience? See, God was patient with us. God was forbearing with us. Amen? And the problem with us is God's forbearing with us, but we don't want him to be forbearing with somebody else. Yeah, we want that person to see it my way or the highway. Okay? But God's patient. Forbearance and patience, being ignorant that this goodness of God entices thee to reformation. Well, y'all want to see my honey. That's my honey. But we are sure that the judgment of God. See, even as ministers, we don't, like Brother Dale said, he don't speak to your flesh. Right. That's the problem. That's the problem that, like I was covering last Sunday, that's the problem. The message, when it first got started, the message of the hour, beat the flesh. Didn't do anything for the soul. Beat the flesh. Beat you into submission.
Right.
And sad to say it, 50 years later, it's still doing some of that in some people. They think it's hair and dress. But if we would have ever got that group born again, taught them, that's why Brother Brown said, new birth is an ill-taught subject. And people don't usually teach you, well, I just believe the message, brother. You got the seed in you, come alive in you. Born again, you come to church, don't you? Well, not half the time anymore. So you can't say that.
Right.
Okay? So, what have we come to? Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. One more time. Sure, as a minister and as the gift that we have to stand before the people and remind you of what God's already said. We can't bring judgment. It's already there. You being judged, because we're going to read it in just we'll get to it. Because this is what we don't want. And the original says works. Okay? See? But watch. Excuse me. I got that old crud daddy's got. Trying to get rid of him. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Let God judge him, but as we preach the word, that should be the judge.
Right.
The conviction is not me going, it's like Brother Dale said, and we've seen it many times. A preacher will go back to get somebody that don't want to come to the altar. I don't agree with that either. That makes a twofold more child of hell. Brother Brown said that. All right? So you can't go back there and get them, because the goodness of God leads us to repentance. You got to look and see that you are lost.
Right.
And God's bringing something to you that's good. That's why the most illiterate person can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He realizes the goodness of God. He doesn't have to do the do's and don'ts. Okay? Because we'll read it maybe in the, I think I have it in the scripture with the third seal. Maybe not. I was looking through so many yesterday or last night. I may not have put it in there. But I'm not judged by a preacher. I just told you that. The preacher can't judge you.
That's right.
He just tells you what the words already say it.
Right.
He just tells you what the words already say it. And then where does the conviction come? It comes on you by what he said.
Right.
Okay? So that's what Paul was saying. He's saying, man, y'all are standing up here, you inexcusable man, so there's no excuse. You inexcusable preachers are preaching a false doctrine. That's where the blackness of this blackness of that black horse rider is so bad. Because everybody, and we'll read it this afternoon, everybody thinks that their light is light. But if the Bible says, if your light be darkness, how great is that darkness? When you think it's light. When you think you're married to Christ and you're worshiping the devil. That's the worst. You can take, I'm going to be playing, whores, homosexuals, you can take them, the most vile people in the world. It's not as bad as that. Because that's a spirit anointing them to do that with their flesh. But if you ever got that soul converted, say, oh, it doesn't mean that all that goes away. You still remember, you still know in your body we bear the marks of sin. That's what the Bible says. But inside we're clean. Remember the one that that Brother Branham prayed for, the drunk? She was a prostitute. She was a drunk. But God saved her. What was her name?
Rosella.
Huh?
Rosella.
Street prostitute. Drunk. God saved her soul. Now she's testifying. Now, that don't render what she done right. But if she's born again, where are you going to put her? She didn't do them.
That's right.
She didn't do it in her soul. Our body did.
That's right.
So why we have to have marriage and divorce, and we may cover that this afternoon. I believe in the third seals where Brother Brown really saw the grace of marriage and divorce. Because your old husband's got to be dead.
That's right.
Black dead in order for you to marry Christ. Right?
Amen.
So you got to be like Brother, whoever that brother was, said, you got to be zeroed out. Alright? But what's Paul talking about? Paul's talking about spirits. I go back to that example where Brother Branham discerned this guy walking through the room that he was committing adultery. He had an adulterous spirit. Now, Brother Branham, listen, Brother Branham didn't see a vision. If he saw a vision, he'd have known what to do. Because he'd have never seen the vision of him with another woman. He just saw there was a spirit riding with that guy as he walked through the room. Okay? He'd attached himself to that. Well, then Brother Branham, remember, he talks to him and he said, I went on further. Well, I believe what God done, God showed him a vision. Because see, Brother Branham was getting ready to judge by what he saw. And I believe God said, he's not committing adultery against his wife. He's messing with organized religion. And that is the same devil that produces all these back here. Reprobate mind. Unrighteousness, fornicators, wickedness, covetous, malicious, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. That's all done by a spirit.
Right.
It's just manifested through your body.
Right.
Okay? Cain committed murder against Abel when he did not take Abel's way of doing things. Which was God's way. Because God was what? Pleased with that. So now remember, the Holy Spirit wasn't back there. When I say Holy Spirit, Abel didn't have the Holy Spirit. But he did have an anointing of the spiritual part of him that God accepted what? He accepted his channel of worship. And he told Cain, if you'll worship like your brother, you'll do fine. But what did Cain do? Cain had a spirit on him that wouldn't let him do that. Because we're going to look at the blackness. What was the blackness of Cain? Sure, it was that it wasn't that he went out from the presence of God. That's the manifestation. But the whole problem was is that he accepted his way instead of God's way.
Right.
And he was not repentant. And he didn't have a sorrowful attitude. We'll read it this afternoon. Because Cain was just like us. He was more worried about his own self than he was. He just killed Abel, and he said, God, this is more than I can bear. So see what I mean? What we need to do is I think the thinking of this here, it's the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. So if God can, if this person, these people, can see God through you. See, our problem is we go judge everybody else.
That's right.
Okay. Well, then remember, if we judge everybody else, it's meted right back to you the same.
Okay.
All right. And when it's meted back to you the same, God told him, he said, if you can't forgive your brother, I can't forgive you.
That's right.
Forgive? Yeah. Forget? No, we can't forget. Well, we sure can forgive. So that's the rough part of this. You say, oh, I'm not in that group over there, the covetous revilers. But what about that idea you got this against the Word of God? Same demon. Same devil. You say even with the Holy Ghost? Even with the Holy Ghost. Because that's in your soul. When you reason, you're reasoning in your five middle senses.
Right.
Okay? That's where you're reasoning at. Because remember, God don't reason with Himself. God don't argue with Himself. The reason we argue with God is because we're out here in this memories and conscience phase. And you say argue with God? Yeah, we argue with God every day. Why me? Why did it happen to me? Why are you doing that? Why? And Paul is saying, look, guys, you're inexcusable. Because them people are what? They're just manifesting what they're doing in their flesh.
Amen.
And you're harboring the same spirit in your spirit. That's what he's saying. Because if you're judging, look, but we are sure that the judgment of God, so you take it back to God, the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, still talking about the guy, that judgest them which do such thing, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You will not.
That's right.
Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to reformation in the original. Let's read 5 now. You read that, I'll read this. I'm going to have to load up here. According to thy hardness, listen, this is the problem. Herein lies our problem. Our problem is we justify the spirits that we have.
Yeah.
I do. You can admit whether you do or not, I don't care. You do. But what is it? It's hardness and impenitent heart. Let's look at that word right there. Ta-da! Admitting no change of mind, unrepented. Now how in the world can you live a Christian life without repentance?
That's
why I have to go ask God to forgive. You know, me and Jim went through a situation the other day. We just really had to sit down and just forgive each other. Right? But I asked God to forgive me, but I had to ask Jim to forgive me because we were having a... Golly, we had a problem. It was something she done. See what I mean? That's the first thought that came in my mind. It's something she done. No, it was something she done and I reacted wrong. So whose problem was it? My problem. Okay? But we made that. But after the hardness and impenitent heart, y'all just don't know what forgiveness is. And listen, y'all ain't gonna, you may think I'm saying something dirty, but I'm not. Same way with God. Because when God withdraws himself from you, because we're supposed to have a relationship with God, right? Well, when we have a problem, I said, we have a problem. He don't ever have a problem. When we have a problem, what do? Pull ourselves away. God, who are you? Well, he's right where you left him.
Right.
Right? And that's what Paul's saying. He's Because watch, it's going to keep going. We won't get to it all today. But Paul's going to bring us right back into to them who by patient, continuance, and well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. Paul always gives you a way out. God always gives you a way out. Amen. But you got to go through the steps. So when you get mad at God, you say, I've never been mad at God. Yeah, you've been mad at God.
Yeah.
God, why did you... When you say why to God, you're in the devil's playground right there.
That's right.
Why, God? Well, don't ask him why. Say, thank you, Lord, and let me realize what you're doing. Because I want to have that intimate relationship with you again. Right? Okay. That's why we read the other day that the things that we see, there in verse 1, the things that we see in our life as two, even as two Christian people, even as two unchristian people, but as two Christian people, husband and wife walk through life, the Bible said it should be as Christ and the church or the bride, right?
Right.
The way you treat your wife, the way you treat your husband, same thing, right? I mean, that's what he said. Here's an example of how we go through our daily walk of life and we have our problems. But remember, we are finite and God's infinite.
Yes.
So the argument that we had was an argument we had. God won't argue.
That's right.
That's what I said. When you say why to God, he's like, go back over there. You need to rethink this thing. Because there ain't no why in me.
That's right.
All right. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, read what I already wrote.
Okay.
I already put it in his contract here. Read this. Read what I wrote. But Paul's telling the people, the religious people now, that you are not having to do this in your flesh. But what you have in you is the same thing that those, the whole list is.
Yes.
That's why I don't want to be judged by my works.
That's right.
If I put myself in Christ, he's already been judged. I don't have to be judged. Okay? Now sure, there's a judgment of deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. That is correct. But that is not in your soul. That doesn't mean whether you're a little eternal or a big eternal. No, you're just as eternal as God is if you're born again. Okay? God don't, he's not a respecter of persons. I will read that in just a minute. We'll get to it. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, there's our problem. After our hardness and impenitent, our unrepenting heart,
right,
treasurest up unto thyself wrath against it. Ezra, what are you doing, buddy? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest what? Look. Like Brother Dale has always said, and it's true. We do the same thing with God. You get mad at your wife and you just build this case up. You know, you just build this thing up and then, boy, you're ready to come in and just let her have it, or she's get ready to let you have it. And then you see the love. So when love projects, grace takes over. You know, you don't worry about all that. So what you're doing is, if you have a hardened and impenitent heart, you're laying up treasures unto thyself, wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, or, the Bible says, who will award to each according to his works. All right, look, to them who by patience, now watch, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. In other words, we're going to have problems, but we still got to strive, have patience, because he's inserting this for us. Now watch, but then he goes back to verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jews first and also of the Gentiles. So let's read the Greek. Anon life, indeed, to those, verse 7, who by perseverance and good works are seeking for glory and honor and incorruptibility. but indignation and wrath to those who are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness. Affliction and distress on every soul of man working evil, first of the Jews and then of the Greek. But look, verse 10. But glory and honor and peace to everyone working good. To the Jew first and also the Gentile. Now what's he doing? Remember, Paul's speaking to the Romans. The Romans are Gentiles. Romans are not Jews. The Romans are Gentiles. He's talking about to the Jew first, because Christ came to the Jews first, then they rejected him. Now he's going to the Greeks, or the Gentiles. Verse 11, very plain. For there is no particularity with God. He doesn't pick this one and make this one better than the other one. All right? He can't, because he can't be a righteous judge if he does.
That's right.
Okay? For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Let me read verse 12 again. Therefore, as many as sinned without law will perish also without law, and as many as sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Now, he's fixing to interpolate. Look at verse 13. Now, he's going to interpolate this whole down to verse 15. See the quotation? So he's interpolating, he's interjecting a thought to help you understand the before and the after. So now, excuse me for fucking doing this thing, but I believe I got to have it. Now watch. Let's take out 13, 14, 15. For as many have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now he leaves a lot. He leaves a lot of thought to be desired there. So what does God do? God brings the thought of Paul, and he's going to explain it right here in 13, 14, 15. That's the interpolating part. Paul's not interpreting, he's interpolating. He's what? He's stopping to make sure that you understand the point, and he's giving you a few other little pointers to understand what God's saying. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, because remember, Gentiles don't know the law, do by nature, look, there's a lot of things that the Gentiles did by nature that was in the Torah that Jews are not supposed to do. They just didn't do them. Just like what Brother Brown said about the statue of a perfect man. He said there's a lot of what people have these virtues. Now, they're not godly virtues, but they have the human part of that and don't even and not even born again. So the Gentiles, but see, that didn't make the Gentiles right.
That's right.
So you see what I'm saying? Just because you live a good, and I see that, and it burns in my heart. I saw an older couple in the airport the other day when we were going to Arizona, and boy, they were probably in their 80s, but I mean, they were just so lovey-dovey and all just, you know, getting together and sitting and smiling and talking. And I thought, you know what, God, you probably give them a good life, but if they're not born again, they're both going to end up in hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. So it's not the goodness of the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles, hey, listen, the Jews lived the law and got them were lost. So, you know, the law has no strength in it. Now, Paul will tell us that later on. It was weak. Why was the law weak? It beat on this guy. He didn't get in the soul and change that person. They'll ever change that person. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. So they've made their own law. Right? Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. So let's read the let's read the Greek. Verse 13. For not the hearers of law are just before God, but the doers of law will be justified. when therefore, now remember, you can be justified and not be born again.
That's right.
Because you will be, there will be a group of people judged by law. Because remember, the law was good before Christ came.
That's
all those
right.
in the Old Testament lived under the law.
That's right.
Okay. But that's do's and don'ts.
Yes.
Who was that? Verse 14. When therefore those Gentiles, not having a law, naturally perform the things of the law, these, though they do not possess a law, are law to themselves. Okay? To demonstrate the work of the law written on their hearts, their conscience co-attesting, I don't know what that word is, A-T-T-E-S-I-N-G, and the reasoning between each other, accusing or defending. Now, he picks the thought back up. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men's hearts by what? By Jesus Christ. I want you to read this right here. In the day when, according to my glad tidings, God will judge hidden things of men through Christ Jesus. Now watch what he done. He took all first 16 verses and put it in one verse. Because God's going to judge the secrets. That's what he's talking about way up here. He's not talking about what... it's not a secret. I was thinking the other day, you know, if you're out in your workshop and your door's open and you drive a nail through your finger or you stump your toe and you say the bad word, you know, and your neighbor hears you. Well, now, that's not a witness. But what more if there was nobody around and you said it? God heard you.
Right.
See? So what I'm saying is, that's a secret. It ain't a secret if you sit out on your front porch and drink a 12-pack of beer and your neighbor sees you. That's not a secret. But if you got some in your refrigerator, and I'm just talking about, this is natural things. You understand I'm talking about spiritual things that we hide. Because remember, we are controlled by spirits. I want us to realize that. We are if you don't get anything from these seals, get one thing. There's not a horse riding through your life. You understand what I'm saying? There's not a natural horse riding through your life. It's the devil that you give him power. And I won't go there. I'll say something else later. In the day when God shall judge the secrets, quit. Patience, brother.
That's right.
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, by who? Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Look how positive he was. Because I want you to realize something. What was inside of his gospel? He didn't say the secrets of men's hearts after Jesus came. And 90% of the world never knew, 99% of the world never knew who Paul was. 99% of the people never heard his gospel at that time. At the time he wrote that. You got to go back to the time he wrote it. Once he was writing this, now not now. That's when all over the world. You see how he's prophesying. Because look, if you take this Bible, I took mine upstairs, this one. If you take this Bible, all over the country today, people are preaching out of that Bible, and they're preaching, if they're preaching a false doctrine, they're going to be judged by what Paul just said.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So are we. So are we, if we don't get it correct.
Amen.
Get those little demons of whatever out. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. Now watch. Let me read the 18. And knowest his will, and doest discern superior things, this is verse 18, knows his will and proves the things that are more excellent, what? And does discern superior things, being instructed out of the law. In other words, the law is good, but what are they doing? His will is you're being instructed out of the law.
That's right.
Okay, you're being instructed now. What am I saying? We're not living under the law right now.
Right, right.
If you're born again, you've come out from under the law,
right,
and you're under grace.
Amen.
But now there is a group of people that will be judged under the law.
Right.
Okay? Now watch. Verse 19. And hast believed thyself to be a guide of the blind, a light of those in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Let me read it here and watch. An instructor of the simple, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Dost thou then, 3:21, and we'll stop right about 22. If you'll read Paul, you'll watch his thought. He'll bring thoughts in. He'll interpolate. And then, man, he'll start on something and something else. Which I would put a chapter in there. But, you know, I don't know how they did that. But you know what? God didn't ask me. I wasn't born. So God didn't ask me about that. And instructed the foolish, teacher of babes, which has formed knowledge and truth and law. Verse 22. Thou who art saying, do not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Oh no, I've never touched a woman. All right, let me go back to 21, didn't read that. Dost thou then, who art teaching another, not instruct thyself? When we're preaching the gospel, we're getting it too. Okay? Thou who art preaching, do not steal. Dost thou steal? You say, I don't steal. Time. See what I'm saying? That's why we have to, this onion peeled of layers. You say, no, I don't steal. Well, you cannot steal a day in your life and die and go to hell. Bust hell wide open. That's what they're going to do. They're going to stand up on the day of judgment. This is what's going to happen. And they're going to say, God, I didn't steal. Okay? God, I didn't. And there's going to be a checklist of things that they're going to say, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. But there's going to be one thing. Whatever it is, there's going to be one thing. And God's going to say, you disbelieve me. Doesn't matter this big laundry list of things that I did not do, and even the big laundry list of the things they did do, God's going to say, I came to you on a certain day, and I presented myself to you, and you turned me down. That's all it's going to be. It's not going to be, you know, God's not going to stand up there and go, now, Bob Black, you didn't, and you did, and you didn't, and you didn't. No. He's going to say, you remember that day that I came to you, and he'll tell you exactly where.
Right.
Everybody in the world he's got to come to. If not, then he's a respected person. Then he'll say, did you turn me down or did you accept me? Mm-hmm. And you'll just bow your head and you'll say, I turned you down. Because you know in your psyche, in your person, you turned him down. Well, there's your judgment. Right. Not that you did this and that whole laundry list of things. Right?
Right.
It was that somewhere, pray tell, Brother Brown, what is sin? Smoking, drinking, gambling, cussing, running around. Nope, mm-hmm. None of those. It's disbelieving God's word.
Right.
And he'll say, that day, you disbelieved that was me talking to you. And therefore, judgment has already passed. Because what happens is, when you do that unbelief, all those other things are just attributes. Remember Brother Brown said, those are attributes of sin. Sin, in the bottom line, and I read a quote yesterday, and I don't think I brought it. Because Brother Brown's talking about something. He's making a comment to somebody. And it wasn't about that, but he was talking about unbelief. He said, y'all say all these things. In other words, talking about preachers doing this and don't do that. Y'all saying all these things. He said, it boils down to either you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, Oh, he was talking about somebody come to him and said, well, what about these women that are doing abortions and stuff like that? They've sold their soul. They've lost. He said, no. He said, no. That's not true. He said, the only thing they're going to be judged by is whether they turn the word down or not. And if you're a word rejecter, word rejectors go to hell. If you're a word rejecter, then that comes to the time where that means you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Blaspheming the Holy Ghost is the only way that you'll not make it to heaven.
Yes, that's right.
You say, oh, no, no.
Yes.
I'm telling you. That's what Brother Brown said. He said, don't worry about all this. I was looking up last night. It was about this. We're talking about Saul committing suicide. Saul didn't commit suicide. But even Brother Brown talked about people committing suicide. We're not lost.
Right.
They could have a demon attach themselves to a person's spirit. Make you do things that, well, you know, let's just be honest. I've seen in my life older people that were, I feel were born again Christians, but when they come down to be about 90 years old in their life, brother in the message, he just got this spirit of cussing and was being mean, but that wasn't him.
Right.
See, that was that body, that was that spirit realm that had overcome and had took over in this realm.
Yeah.
And so you really don't, that's another thing. See, you say, well, I judge that man, he's gonna go to hell. No, he's not going to hell for that. It's just that he lost his mind. What about the brother Ramsey? God called him Christian man. Goes and gets a six pack of beer and just, in other words, he let a spirit get on him. And he didn't want to get it off of him, so God said, look, you can't walk around this community with a beer in your hand. You're my child, I'm taking you home.
Right.
And you know what? He did the best thing he could have done was took that man home.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay? He could have blasphemed the Holy Ghost, so God wasn't going to let him keep going and keep going and keep going with that spirit on him. So, let the Word judge.
Yeah,
let the Word judge. That's good.